Merry Christmas, FSM. Merry Christmas. How y'all doing? You excited? You excited to be out of school? Have a little break? No. Who said no? Sam. Sam's not excited. Hey, this is a fun morning. I'm really thrilled to get to be here and get to teach in the round. And so I'm actually excited for a few reasons. The first, this is our last FSM of the decade. Aww. So I get to close us out, and that's really exciting. Two, we're also, I mean, if y'all can't tell, we're singing in a circle instead of looking at the stage. And so y'all may see me get dizzy as I'm trying to teach to everybody. So that's the second reason I'm excited. And really, it's not that we're just doing something different, but we actually get to be a part of the collective body of Christ. And we get to sing while looking at each other. We have the all men's choir up here on the stage. And but yeah, we all get to be a part of this together and praise the name of Jesus and his coming this Christmas season. So I'm really excited that we get to do this morning and do something a little bit different. On that, this isn't going to look like a normal sermon with a normal, you know, 20, 25 minutes with a point. It's actually going to be more of a worship and talk experience where we're going to do some songs. I'm going to come up and share a little bit, and then we'll do some more songs and share and more songs and then share. And so instead of giving y'all a normal sermon, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a story of the universe. I'm going to tell you where you fit into this story, why this story matters, why we celebrate Christmas. And so lean in, pay attention. If you're going to take notes, don't. Just join in and worship. We have the cards to sing our worship music to, and just buy in for just a little bit. And so let me pray for us, and we'll get started. Lord, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that we get to come and celebrate your holy and perfect name. God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you that he came to rescue and redeem us, your lost and fallen people. God, I pray this morning will be a time that we can engage our hearts and minds with you. God, that we won't let the nostalgia of Christmas be the reason we celebrate, but we can look and reflect on your person and your character and your love for us. Do you ever pray? Amen. So like any story, we're going to start this one at the beginning. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Spirit of God was looking over the void and the chaos of an unformed world, and he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And the light separated the light from the darkness, and he saw that it was good and holy and pleasing to him. And then God looked at the land, and he said, "Let me separate the land from the water." And he did. He saw that it was good. And God said, "Let me separate the land and the water from the sky. And in the sky, let me put the stars and the moon to govern and guide the night and the sun to show the days, and all for my glory, all singing my praises, all because I can, because I'm God." And then God looked at the land and said, "Let me fill it with beasts, big and small." He takes the water and says, "I'll fill it with fish of every size and every color, teeming and moving, and all for my glory and for my praise." He saw the skies. He said, "Let me fill it with birds of every color, every size, big and small, all for his glory." Now, if you will, close your eyes for just a moment and think of a really, really beautiful scene. And if you can and you can't, try and imagine that scene times a million when it comes to creation. I'm talking waves crashing upon a distant shore. The beauty of the Lord and the ocean and the storm clouds and everything that's going on, all praising his mighty wonders. Or maybe it's a forest and the light is just barely coming through the tops of the leaves. It's dusting the ground below, and everything in that moment is all singing the praises of God. And it's in that moment that God could have said, "That's good. I like my creation." But no, he saved the best for last. So what God did in that moment was he paused. And instead of letting his voice carry out and create like he'd done before, he used his hands. And instead of speaking mankind into creation, he picked up the very dirt and the very clay that he used to create the world, and he started to form and mold and shape with intentionality and care and love and purpose. And he said, "I will make man and woman in my image. They will know me and love me, and I will know them and love them. They'll have purpose They'll have peace. They will have a reason for being here. Then God did something really spectacular. He held his creation, his created man, and he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. He gave man a soul, a spirit. He gave man something eternal in that moment that none of the other parts of his creation has. A soul that desires to be with him, to be like him, to know him. The part of man that is longing to be in communion with God. And God saw that it was really, really good. God walked with Adam and Eve, and he loved them, and he cared for them. And then he rested. So here we have Adam and Eve walking with God in the garden. Everything is good. Everything is perfect. Everything is as it should be. In fact, as they're walking around, God is going, look out to everything you see. It's all created for my glory and for your enjoyment. You're to rule over the creatures that I created and love them and intentionally care for them. You're to love one another and have lots more of you. You're to go on and be happy and filled with joy and peace, never lacking or wanting anything, because I'm with you. And one day as they were walking along, God said, now, I love you so much that I don't want you to ever taste death. I never want you to hurt. I never want you to have a worry. I never want you to have to be separated from me. And because of that, I give a commandment, not because I want to, but because I have to. The commandment is to obey me and know me and walk with me, and I'm allowed to do so. So my commandment to you, so you don't have to taste sin or death, is to not eat of the tree in the middle of this garden. That's it. Don't take from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, you'll know what it's like to have evil. I don't want that for you. Did Adam and Eve listen? No, because now we actually enter in a character who I absolutely hate and despise with all of my being. So we have the serpent, the fallen one, the angel who decided he could stand up to God and tell him to screw off. He enters the garden. He finds man and woman as they're enjoying God's creation, and he starts telling them the same lies that he tells us day after day after day. It's just a little sin. It won't do that much to you. Surely you can't mean death, right? He says, you're man and woman for crying out loud. You can do whatever you please. You can think, you have emotions, you look like God. You should be able to be just like God. And we know, of course, that Adam and Eve listened. Not having any want or any desire outside of their community with God, they listened. And they ate of the fruit. And everything from that moment forward that we experience on this earth, what we'd call the human condition, was brought out because of that fateful moment. What a horrible day. All of the addiction, all of the abuse, all of the loneliness, all of the depression, all of the anxiety, all of the pain, all of the death, everything that we experience in this life came about because of this day. Because man and woman decided they could do it better than God could. So then Adam and Eve, knowing that they had sinned, they could feel the shame, they could feel the guilt weighing in on them. And I imagine they could even taste the death as they ate that fruit. I don't know what that tastes like exactly, but I think we have a pretty good idea. You know what it's like to feel guilty inside? No, you get that weird taste in your mouth when you do something bad. I don't know. They tasted death, and then they heard God coming, and they hid out of fear. Instead of running to him as they'd done for all of their existence up until this point, they hid. God looks around and goes, Adam, Eve, where are you? He said, we're over here and we're scared. He said, why are you scared, my dear children? He said, because we've sinned against you. Then they start blaming the other. They said, well, she made me do it. Well, he listened. And God watched as their relationship began to crumble, and their relationship with him was now exposed and different, cut off. See, the thing is, God is so holy and so mighty and so wonderful that he can't be a part of sin. He can't be around it. So he had a choice to make. could either end his creation right there and eradicate it forever, or he could join his people in the hurt, in the pain, in the addiction, in the loneliness, in the brokenness. That's what he did. This is why we have the story of Christmas. This is why we get to celebrate. This is why we don't have to stay sad forever. This is why we don't have to live in a constant state of fear and anxiety and separation from God. We actually get to celebrate being with him. But until that moment, let's sing the next song with anticipation, with hope, knowing that we have to have a Savior. We have to have God with us. We have to have our Emmanuel. So we'll sing with expectation. So God could have just left us where we were. And I'm so thankful he didn't. So I could go on and tell you the rest of the Old Testament story about Adam and Eve and being kicked out of the garden, and then Cain and Abel and the flood and the Tower of Babel and Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the birth of Israel and everything we get to at this point, but I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to summarize for you everything from the garden to where we find ourselves now. It's this. We are a lost people waiting in darkness. But there's hope. There's always hope. There's hope because God chose to humble himself to become the form of a man, a screaming, tiny baby born to be the sacrifice in our place. So imagine with me that you're a girl and you're a little bit older than, well, maybe some of y'all's age, actually. You're a young girl. Could be your age, a little bit older. And your name's Mary, and you're a normal girl, and you live a normal life in a normal world. And it sounds like a Barbie commercial. I don't know. You're Mary, right? And all of a sudden, you're told you're pregnant. How does that happen? I haven't been doing anything that gets you pregnant. Right? And the angel of the Lord says, no, you're pregnant with one that the Holy Spirit gave you, and you are carrying the child king. The one whose government shall be in his shoulders, the one who's called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And this girl is betrothed to her to-be husband named Joseph, who's an honorable man, a man who's actually from the lineage of King David. And upon learning that his fiance is pregnant, he does what most people, I imagine, would do. He decides he'll end things with her quietly. The town's beginning to talk. Right, as a girl who hasn't been married yet, she's pregnant. So he knows he's got to do something. But he was visited in a dream by the same angel of the Lord. And in the dream, the angel said, Joseph, do not end things with Mary. She's in fact carrying the child of God. And you're to go as you're decreed by Caesar and go to Bethlehem to be counted for the tax. And that's where you'll have your child. And so they went. And this is the part of the story that everybody knows. Right, they get on an animal and they go to Bethlehem and they have a baby. But here's why this story is so important. It's not that it's just a common Christmas story where we set out nativity scenes where we can understand and remember Jesus. It's not that it's the same story we hear over and over every time at Christmas that we get it, this baby was born. No, the reason this story is so important, and get this, it's because this, for the first time, is God in the flesh. God with us. This was his plan all along. It wasn't to leave us in our state of desperation. It wasn't to leave us stuck in our sin or in our ways. No, it was to become like us, to be fully God and fully man, and live the life that we couldn't live, and die the death that we couldn't afford. And it's in that moment that all of human history pivots. Thousands of years of hopelessness, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prophecies all leading up to this moment when a baby's born. The baby is wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And as his mother is holding him, you can imagine with me, he's screaming, he's cold. It's the first day of being alive. Of course you're crying, right? And every ounce of blood that is pumping through his heart and his lungs as he screams is the blood that is to be spilled for you and me. The hands that hold his mother, the same hands that hold the nails for us. That's why Christmas is important. That's why we celebrate the way we celebrate. It's because of the child king humbling himself to the form of a man, that the curse of sin is reversed forever. Will you all stand with me? So we celebrate Christmas for a lot of reasons. We know that we have the hope of a Savior. We know that we have his love. We know that we can actually know him and walk with him if we'll just accept who he is. And the reason I love the Christmas story is because it's personal to me. I met the Emmanuel when I was in eighth grade. I had God with me for the first time. Many of y'all in this room know Jesus and walk with him intimately, and it's the same promise that was given to man and woman in the garden. I know you, and I love you. I want to care for you. I want you to walk with me, to know me. I don't want anything bad to happen to you. But if it does, because you live in a world that is not yet perfect, I'm there with you. That's the hope we celebrate this Christmas. It's the hope we celebrate every Christmas. So there were some shepherds, and they were out watching these sheep. And I'd like to think that they were the same sheep that were used for sacrifices in the Old Testament temple. And they were like bombarded by a chorus of angels. And all these angels are telling them, go and find the baby, the one wrapped and swaddled in cloth and lying in a manger. Go find him and worship him. And they knew immediately, this is the right sacrifice. Jesus is the right sacrifice. No longer do we need these lambs. We have the Lamb of God. So I encourage you this morning, FSM, as we celebrate Christmas, as we get excited for the coming hope and love of Jesus that has already happened, sing loud. Sing with passion, because we don't live in a state of hopelessness anymore. We can know God intimately and walk with him. Let us sing.